Thank you. Good morning and welcome to St. James Westminster Anglican Church. There's a whole lot of things going on today. First of all, it's Bella's special day. Yeah, she's waving from the front. Bella's going to be baptized, and so we welcome her and her family today to join with us. This morning we are HTSSM North. The folks at Holy Trinity St. Stephen's Memorial are on vacation. Their rector's away, so they seem to think they wanted to come back and hear me once or twice before I wander off into the sunset. So several of them are here. Barbara's back. Fred Benko's friend is back and with us here today, so that's great. And it's just going to be a busy day, which is good. We will endeavor to let you know where we're going, what we're doing during the service. Everything is on the screen as far as what you have to say, so that makes that fairly easy. If you're musically inclined, there are hymn books with music in the pew backs in front of you that you can follow along as we go through. When we get to communion, I'll walk through the procedure for that. Masks are not required. Some of us still wear them, and it's just your comfort level. So if you would be more comfortable wearing a mask and you have one, you want to do it, put it on, it's fine. And if you don't want to wear one, that's absolutely fine as well. One last thing, and this is a pretty important thing to the folks from St. James Westminster. Chris Fuseman has been with us for the last 5 years, working as a custodian, and Chris is moving back home to Chatham. He's here, hiding in the back row as he always does. He's just mad because we wouldn't do all Alan Jackson and George Strait this morning. He's the biggest country music fan you ever met, and he picks really bad sports teams. But other than that, Chris, we love you. We're going to miss you, and we are all better for having known you. So for those who know Chris, catch up with him after the service. And I forgot to mention, just because I have to give him a hard time, my golfing buddy Dean's here today. So it will make a really interesting time when we get back on the golf course after he's seen me in action here. A moment of silence, and then our worship begins. There is one body and one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism,
one God,
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. May we find peace in your service and in the world to come see you face to face. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our service continues with the first reading from Scripture.
A reading from the book of Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learn from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. To test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Now, which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And he said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. No need for a homily. Everybody knows this story, right? You were taught it in Sunday school. You've known it forever. You understand it. You've got it all wrapped up so I can just sit down. Or do you know this story? One of the things that we tend to do is move things into our own history, our own culture, our own understanding, without stopping to go back in time and figure out what was happening when this lawyer, Pharisee, somebody important, comes up to Jesus and asks a question. So first and foremost, and the folks here know that I say context, 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 and when you're done with context, find some more context. There are four Gospels. This story, which is one of the most famous stories in all of Scriptures, is in how many of the four Gospels? One. The other three Gospels don't have this parable, which can lead us in a lot of different directions. I don't like answers, I like questions, so I'm going to give you some of the questions. So why does Luke have this story? Mark, Matthew, and John don't. Was Luke present to hear a conversation that the others weren't? Well, remember, these are being written down some 30 or 40 years after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, and have been passed down by story. So all four writers of the Gospels had to have heard this story in some form. So that, first and foremost, tells us that we need to look for some of the details to see why Luke found this story to be important. And to do that, sometimes you have to understand more of the culture of the time and the way things happened. So when a lawyer, a Pharisee, would have come up to Jesus, somebody important in the society, it would not have been unusual for Jesus, and he knew that they were always looking to back him into a corner. And if you read the rest of the Gospels, he never falls for it. So this gentleman, somebody of prominence, remember Jesus is an itinerant preacher. Those who liked him really liked him, but a lot of the people were going, we're not sure about this guy. So this important person comes up and says, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus says, well, you tell me. And he answers, easy, because it's in the Old Testament. Love God, love your neighbor. That's not good enough for this guy. He wants to find out more. He wants to be put in a better position before Jesus. And so he asks him to say more about who his neighbor is. And Jesus tells a story, a parable. One of the things that far too often we do is think that this is an actual story. I always call it CNN reports, that somebody watched this happen on the road. And because it's an actual story, it's all facts and figures. Trust me, the three people who walked by the person on the side of the road were chosen for a reason. Not only were they chosen for a reason by Jesus, but it seems likely that Luke massaged this parable, a story he probably had heard and others had, but he massaged it for his own use, his own understanding, to show what he wanted to do. So Mark wrote first, Matthew wrote to a Jewish audience, and Luke tended to write to the Gentile audience. John came much later and was much more a theology of Jesus than a story of Jesus. So it's interesting the characters that Luke chooses in this story. First of all, it's a priest that walks by. Second, it's a Levite. Both people who would have been fairly prominent in the community. And with that, asks a very interesting question if we bring this into our own culture of today. And I'll take this one on myself. Going home the other day, and I am a priest, so I qualify sort of under the first one. Going home, I'm about to turn left off Oxford onto Maitland. Car stopped in Maitland, guy on a bicycle on Oxford, Guy in the car jumps out, fists up. Guy on the bike puts his fists up, and I said, I'm not hanging around here. I got nothing to do with this. I mean, these things happen all the time. So did I just save my own bacon? Did I walk by? One of them could have caught a right hook and been down and out for the count. Well, lots of other people around, but did I have responsibility to stop and get in the middle of the fight? I'm not a fighter. Never have been. Never will be. But it puts context in, how would you do it? We all see things on the street every day. Do we stop? Third one is the Samaritan. And the Samaritan comes to help. Now, if you don't know the relationship between Jewish people and Samaritans, this is hard to understand. Over time, there's a lot of water under the bridge between Samaritans and Jewish folks. Luke does something interesting in this parable in that he kind of lumps them together. A lot of people would say the Jewish people and the Samaritan people were completely separate. Luke's putting them together, which brings more heat, if you will, to the understanding of the story. So the fallout between the Samaritans and the rest of the children of Israel happens around the exile. I've read three or four different accounts of it. It doesn't really matter. A lot of it has to do with the Samaritans taking on some of the cultural understanding of their captors and some intermarriage. Whereas those elsewhere in the kingdom of Israel stayed true to their faith and did not intermarry with their captives. So that's one of the things that goes on. And there's a whole lot more. It's really just kind of one of those community struggles. You know, you build a high rise in my backyard, so I don't like you. Well, but I need that high rise, and you're trying to take away my economic freedom, so I don't like you. So by putting these two together, Luke does an interesting thing. When you're talking about who's your neighbor and who's your community, not only is it who stopped to help the man who was injured, but who within this wider Jewish Samaritan community was the person who stepped up, the Samaritan, who would have been culturally lower on the class meeting. So we tend to think of this parable just as, you know, two highfalutin people walk by, ignore them, the poor guy comes along and helps them, which is a really nice moral parable, and I think that's part of what Luke is trying to say. But there's also this understanding, and it's the question that the lawyer asked, who is my neighbor? And that's the question I ask today. Who is our neighbor? Who is part of our community? Do we exclude some parts of our community? Are there people who are considered socially further up the ladder? When we have the opportunity to stand for social justice or our own well-being, which do we choose? If there was anything that Jesus tried to teach us, it was community. We all remember Peter. Peter's my favorite disciple because I think I emulate him very much with the understanding of why put one foot in your mouth when there's room for two. How many times did Peter do something to save his own bacon, to try and gain prominence, and every time Jesus came back and said, you're still my disciple, you're still in my community, you're still my friend, you always will be. If someone betrayed you the way Peter betrayed Jesus, would you accept them back? Now let me take this in a whole different way based on what we're going to do here today. Is Bella a child who's being baptized? Or is this a celebration of our entire community? I'm going to suggest to you that the liturgy that we use today says to the folks from St. James Westminster,
that by the very fact that Bella is baptized here today in this church, she is our neighbor, a member of our community, our responsibility in faith for life. Now that takes an interesting turn in all this, because a lot of times people say, oh, it's nice we have a baptism, I hope they come back to church. But these are our neighbors, who are the extended family. And it's not about getting them to come to church and to attend, it's about caring for them as people of faith, children of God, and being there for them. One of the things that, and this is a political statement, but I'll make it anyways, one of the greatest problems that the Anglican Church has is our lack of understanding of community. We continue to hover in these small communities and say, oh, those people in the next church, they're nice folks. It's really good, but we're doing our thing and they're doing their thing. We're all children of God. There should never be a division at any point, any place, any time between people of faith. That's what it is to be community. That's what it is to have neighbors. And not only in our churches, but in our life. So I have to stop and ask myself, by not hanging around to make sure somebody didn't get badly hurt in that fight, did I miss my opportunity to build community? What about for you? Are you looking for neighbors and community to build relationships, to help one another through? Or do we live in our own groups? Do we accept or do we judge? These are all elements that come from this little parable that we all know and we all thought we completely understood. It's really simple. The two guys that should have helped didn't, and the one that had nothing gave everything, and wow, what a great moral story. And yes, that's one of the meanings. But there's a whole lot more to it. It's about community. It's about neighbor. And it's about that lawyer who stepped up to Jesus and wanted to get the right answer so he could have everything the way he wanted. And instead of arguing, Jesus told him a story that showed he was asking the wrong question. It doesn't matter who helped. It matters that somebody helped. And if it wasn't somebody that's prominent in your community, you should still celebrate the fact that people were helped. Who is your neighbor? Who is in your community? Who do you include? Amen. Guess what, Bella? It's time. So as we go into the baptism, to prove that I'm old, I used to have to tell people no flash pictures during baptisms. Anybody have a flash camera anymore? Nah, everybody uses cell phones. So there's only one rule about pictures. You can take all the pictures you want, but please don't block anybody else. We'll come back after the service and repose for all kinds of pictures if you'd like them. Everything is on the screen. There are parts that you're involved in, parts that you're spectators to, and Bella is always the star of the show. Yes, she's happy with that. So, I ask the parents and sponsors to please stand. And everything that you see in yellow on the screen, you're supposed to read together. Now, sometimes that's never easy, but it's all right in front of you. So, the candidate for holy baptism will now be presented. Will you be responsible for seeing that the child you present is nurtured in the faith and life of the Christian community? Will you, by your prayers and witness, help this child to grow into the full stature of Christ?
I will, with God's help.
Do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God?
I renounce Satan.
Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God?
I renounce Satan.
Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God?
I
Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in his grace and love? Do you promise to obey him as your Lord? Now this is for everybody else, and this is this whole community thing that I told you about. You're not just people sitting here watching. You are asked to make a promise that you will help. Parents and sponsors, if you can just sit down, because then that way the rest of your family can see what the response is supposed to be. So this is a serious question, and I hope that the "we will" rattle the roof. Will you witness these vows? Do all in your power to support Bella and her life in Christ?
We will.
Really? One more time. Will you witness these vows? Do all in your power to support Bella and her life in Christ?
We will.
That's better. Good job. Back on the panel now. Lead prayers for Bella.
I invite you to take a position of prayer which is comfortable for you. Let us now pray for Bella, who is to receive the sacrament of new birth. Deliver her, O Lord, from the way of sin and death.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Open Bella's heart to your grace and truth.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Fill Bella with your holy and life-giving spirit.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Teach her to love others in the power of the Spirit.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Send her into the world in witness to your love.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Bring her to the fullness of your peace and glory.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Grant her, Lord, that all who are baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, your Son, may live in the power of his resurrection, and look for him to come again in glory, who lives and reigns now and forever. Amen.
Now I need my assistants and anybody else, so anybody that considers themselves young at heart and ready to help, yeah, you can come forward if you want. Come out and help. Everybody's welcome. Bella's going to come and help too. Cool. Okay, so we got Samuel and Thomas are going to help. So what we got to do now, what do we need to baptize Bella? Well, we've got to start with water, and then we have to make it holy, right? So have you got some water? Didn't I tell you to bring a bottle? You forgot the bottle of water. How about you, Samuel? You got one? Anybody got a bottle of water? Anybody see any water? Uh-oh. What? You think that might be water down there? Well, grab it there, Samuel, and see. It's heavy. That look like water? Okay, so what do we need to just pour it over Bella's head now? Does that work? No, I don't think Mom and Dad would be happy with that. Where do you think we put the water? Okay. Wow, Bella, that's good. So, Samuel and Thomas, do you want to pour the water in? Now, if you look here, it says that the water is to represent the flowing river. Well, just careful, that does come off. So, you don't want a little dribble. You want to kind of splash a little bit. So, Samuel, get close so you can get wet, and I'm going to get out of the road. Okay? Okay, so let's... Oh, come on, get it up here. There we go. Okay, we'll make a splash. Perfect. Okay, so now we got the water. Remember, we talked about the holy part. Yeah. How do we make it holy? Right. And I say these words, and you guys and everybody else in the congregation is invited to hold their hand out as well while we do the Thanksgiving over water. But as I told Samuel and Thomas, sometimes people get a little tired and their hands go down, so I need them, and Bella's going to help make her own water holy. That's great, Bella. I like that. The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We thank you, Almighty God, for the gift of water. Over water, the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through water, you led the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt into the land of promise. In water, your Son Jesus received the baptism of John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah, the Christ, to lead us through his death and resurrection from the bondage of sin into life everlasting. We thank you, Father, for the water of baptism. In it we are buried with Christ in his death. By it we share in his resurrection. Through it we are reborn by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in joyful obedience to your Son, we bring into his fellowship those who come to him in faith, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Okay, actually, you didn't have to hold your hands up for this part, but I like making you do it. Everybody, hold your hands out now. Now sanctify this water by the power of your Holy Spirit, that those who are here cleansed from sin and born again may continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Okay, you guys can go back and be seated. I'll ask everybody else to stand. We are now going to renew our own baptismal covenants. Let us join with those who are committing themselves to Christ and renew our own baptismal covenant. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ the Son of God? Sustain and renew the life of the earth. And now it's time for the baptism. Parents and sponsors and Bella and brothers can come up too. Everyone else may be seated if they wish. So all I ask is that you fan out and look that way so that everybody can see Bella. I need you up on the chair here. Can you do that? Now, can we take the veil off?
Yep.
Perfect. So what do you think we should do now? You want to go for a swim?
Yeah.
Oh, she wants to go for a swim. Okay, just lean over here. Give me your hand, and you put your head over here. Can you lean in? There we go. Perfectly. Bella, Angelique, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Look up at me. Can you do that? Yeah. Look up at me. I sign you with the cross and mark you as Christ's own forever. Amen. I got a little towel here that will help you to get dried off. What do you think? Was that fun? Yeah. Oh, you like that. Good stuff. Okay, you can step down and be with Mom and Dad. Heavenly Father, we thank you that by water and the Holy Spirit you have bestowed upon this, your servant Bella, the forgiveness of sin, and have raised her to the new life of grace. Sustain her, O Lord, in your Holy Spirit. Give her an inquiring and discerning heart, the courage to will and to persevere, a spirit to know and love you, and the gift of joy and wonder in all your works. Amen. Now, we give a light, a candle. Do you want to light the candle, Thomas? You think you're tall enough to reach up there? Huh? Okay, you can do that. I'd let Samuel do it, but I don't think he's tall enough. So you just have to reach up to that flame. Get there. Oh, hard work. There we go. Hold it there for a second. Perfectly. Okay, so you can present that to your dad, and I'll say the words. Receive the light of Christ to show that you have passed from darkness to light. And that candle is Bella's forever to remind her of the baptism. Once Dad holds it out, he'll let you have a hold of it. Okay, we're going to do that in just a minute. Let your lights to shine before others, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let us welcome the newly baptized.
We receive the promises of God, confess the faith of Christ crucified, proclaim his resurrection, and share with us in the eternal priesthood. And now everybody cheers for love. Yeah, it's still hot there. Mom, take care. She'll burn her fingers, and then you'll be okay. That's what moms do, right? We are going to move now to the Eucharist, so once we do that, everybody can greet each other, and then everybody can go back to their seats. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Share a sign of Christ's peace among us.
Peace, Bella. It was fun, wasn't it? No, you can keep that. You can have the box, too. How's that? There we go. Thank you. Peace. Thank you for your help. You guys did great. In your peace, for the sake of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Amen. You may stand, sit, or kneel for the Eucharistic prayer, whichever is most comfortable for you. The Lord be with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, for the gift of a world full of wonder, and for our life which comes from you. By your power you sustain the universe. Glory to you forever and ever. You created us to love you with all our hearts and to love each other as ourselves, that we rebel against you by the evil that we do. In Jesus, your Son, you bring healing to our world and gather us into one great family.
Therefore, with all who serve you on earth and in heaven, we praise your wonderful name as we say, Holy, holy, holy,
God of power and might.
We give you thanks and praise, loving Father, because in sending Jesus, your Son, to us, you showed us how much you love us. He cares for the poor and the hungry. He suffers with the sick and the rejected. Betrayed and forsaken, he did not strike back, but overcame hatred with love. On the cross, he defeated the power of sin and death. By raising him from the dead, you show us the power of your love to bring new life to all your people. Glory to you forever and ever. On the night before he gave up his life for us, Jesus at supper with his friends took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to them saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which is given for you." After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, said the blessing, gave it to his friends, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which is shed for you and for many, so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in memory of me." Glory to you forever and ever. Gracious God, with this bread and wine, we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus, and we offer ourselves to you in him. Send your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts, that we may know the presence of Jesus in the breaking of bread, and share in the light of the family of your children. Glory to you forever and ever. Father, you call us to be your servants. Fill us with the courage and love of Jesus, that all the world may gather in joy at the table of your kingdom. We sing your praise, Almighty Father, through Jesus our Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Glory to you forever and ever.
Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. So as there are many people visiting with us today, let me walk through our communion protocol. First and foremost, no one must come forward. The main rule is nobody should feel any pressure to do anything. You are welcome to receive both the bread and the wine of the Eucharist. There are many people who are not yet ready to receive the common cup, so you may come forward and receive in one time, or you may receive in both times. So the process is you come up, the bread will be administered at this side. I'll be standing there. If you wish to kneel, you can kneel. If you prefer to stand, you can stand. There'll be a lay administrant to do the chalice on this side. Again, you can either stand or kneel. We try to cover all the different bases. We do have gluten-free. If you need that, just say the word, and we'll be able to give you a gluten-free wafer. You may also come forward and receive a blessing. And if you do that, just come to my side and cross your arms like that. I'd be happy to give you a blessing. And if all of this just seems like too much, just stay where you are. Say a prayer, be part of the community, and everything is absolutely good. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Living God, in this sacrament we have shared in your eternal kingdom, may we who taste this mystery forever serve you in faith, hope, and love. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. A couple of short things before the blessing and the final hymn. There is lemonade in the garden this morning. So if after the service you want to congregate in the garden, just through those doors. The steps are a little bit sharp, so please be careful when you're going out there. But there is a cold glass of lemonade and a chance to stand outside on this beautiful Sunday morning and greet each other. Thank you, Bella, for being here. It was absolutely my privilege and my honor to baptize you today. And thank you to all of Bella's family and friends for being here. Thank you to the folks from St. Stephen's. It's just great to have you come and visit in this, my final trip around here at St. James as an active priest, I guess you would say, as I retire at the end of the year. So everybody has made this a great and wonderful and special day. They all are on Sundays. I hope you've all been blessed. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be amongst us this day and remain with us forevermore. Amen.
Thank you.